The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You're up, Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
Good. Have you had a haircut?
I have, yes.
Oh, very smart there. Check it out on video, everyone. He's gone bald. No, not as bad as me, but it's a nice clean cut there, looking sharp. So let's get to this chart video. I'll share the screen with you. Let me put this up here. Bear with me 1 second. And it's a bit of a nightmare chart. There we are. It's the chart of Destiny Pharma. What a heck of a drop off. I took a position down here. I think 24, 30 pence, something, did really well. And, it's fallen off a cliff today. They released news for the results, and review, strategic review. And okay, it's gone 64 pence. That's pretty much where my stop loss was. And it's gone all the way down at 19 pence a day. I'm just going to say, first and foremost, with these types of stocks, pre-revenue, they're very risky stocks. People understand that. I call them hope high potential stocks. And I always sort of, put stop losses in here because you never know what's going to happen. You know, it's a news story at the moment, of course. And if the news doesn't go to plan, it can fall off a cliff, especially in this market. Did you read any of the results, any of this?
No, I just gleaned over the, I just had a quick look at the cover page. And I was just trying to understand what specifically in the announcement is driving the shares down today. And I couldn't find the specific, other than the obvious one, which is, the fact that they're talking about a strategic review, but yeah. I couldn't find any content on that strategic review that I found that it didn't enlighten me anymore. Do you see what I mean?
So yeah, I think this is the sentence for me. I think that got it a bit. It was two things. There's a review of bringing them the costs. They've talked to, they've had feedback from potential partners. Yeah. And they said they're engaged with potential partners. This is on XF73. Yeah. Yeah. And they said the company's engaged with a number of potential partners and received some strong and positive feedback. You don't want feedback, you want deals. Anyway, yeah. However, no potential licensing deal to date has been forthcoming that we would believe provide fair value to the company and its shareholders. So obviously they've gone engaged with, bigger pharma companies and all that.
Yeah.
And they've had the feedback, it seems like, that the phase three will cost too much. Mm-hmm. That's, I think,
that's stopping the concern from the partners. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So but then they've gone and said, that they think it'll be less than they initially expected. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? So, yeah. And now they're looking at, and part of this strategic review is ways in which they could finance it and go it alone, I guess. You know what I mean? It's a little bit confusing, is all I'm saying. So the partners are saying it costs too much. They're saying actually it's going to cost less than we initially expected. And then now we're reevaluating. And this is the bit that I find a bit empty in the strategic review is let's talk about a strategic review when it's done, not when it started. I don't know. I just find, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I suppose they say these steps, steps to reevaluate the aspects of the final clinical development approach to act on this feedback and enhance the attractiveness. So this is, from potential partners, feedback they've had. Obviously not very positive on that. But, they said these steps include developing a new clinical trial design subject to a regulatory review with more than half the previously anticipated phase three trial costs without reducing XF73's nasal market potential label or benefits to patients. Further, the company is conducting an ongoing exercise to broaden understanding of the market potential of XF73 nasal in the US to present potential partners with a clearer, more in-depth picture of the product's value as a preventive treatment and how commercial organizations can realize this value. With the benefit of this enhanced position, the company will continue to engage with interested parties. I mean, the good thing is here, on the financial review, they have got cash, $6.4 million. And they said this is funded through to Q1 2025. So the runway is still quite large. You've got three quarters of a year of runway. So you think, they've got enough time to sort of do this. But then it just throws up uncertainty, doesn't it? How long is this review going to take?
Exactly. My I don't quite understand why companies do this to themselves. You know, what is the point of discussing, you know, strategic? I would say do the review, make your conclusions, and then discuss your conclusions with the market. You know, I just don't understand what the purpose of saying we're going to start looking. I hate to say it, but shouldn't companies be doing that at all times? Yeah. Do you see what I mean? Isn't you know, aren't these like, I don't know. Like, I think the shares were knocked on the word strategic review. Because the market reacted so aggressively, so quickly. And I can't help but say, what else would you expect? Right?
Yeah.
Because strategic review means something's fundamentally wrong. They haven't said it really. And that's the problem. It just conjures up fear. And I don't think it's necessarily justified, that fear, because as you say, they have runway, they have assets. So it's not like they're without assets. And now the business is worth what? 15 million, I think, today.
Yeah. Right. 15 million market cap. So listen, literally, you know, going by that end cash level, literally, you know, a third of their market cap is cash now. I mean, I would say there's opportunity here, but I would let it settle down because there'll be a lot of churn now over the next few days as they put out this uncertainty. And you're absolutely correct. A company who's doing very well, everything's going to plan, do not do a strategic review. There's no need to. So that throwing that out there, you think the question, but obviously I think, you know, they need it. Surely though, you'd have to say it to the market if you are doing a strategic review, because if you're going for partnership deals and they're not happening and the partnership deals, potential partners are giving you this feedback, then wouldn't you have to announce it to the market? Isn't that significant news that you would have to, you know, announce anyway? I don't know, but it's one of those things. It's just tricky, you know. Well, you know more than anyone that, you know, clinical stage biotech pharma. It's risky. It's very risky, you know. And this is the kind of volatility that can happen when the story doesn't unfold properly or unfold as you expect. You know?
Correct. These stocks have huge hope value in them. So when something, you know, changes that hope projection, like the word strategic review, then, you know, that hope value gets erased. And that's what we're seeing today. I just don't understand why it had to be done this way. In my opinion, some of that work can be done ahead of time. And then you announce your new plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The positives, you know, the big asset there was that strategic review. It's obviously got potential. It has to go through this review. They've got cash and they've got to NTLCD as well, which, you know, this is worth up to 5% in royalties. So that's going through. So I think, you know, now, literally, again, there's a difference between market dynamics, the supply and demand of shares. People are going to be underwater here selling if it bounces. So that's why it's better to look for a trend or stabilization of the share price. But now I think at 15 million with two assets here and a bit of cash, that's good value. But it's going to be volatile for a while.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. And you know, I have always been playing devil's advocate with you on this one.
Yeah.
And you've done well out of it, which is fantastic because you cleverly put stop losses in it. And that's the way, remember last week we were discussing, when you go into a stock, you need to have an exit strategy of sorts, right?
Yeah.
So stop losses are an exit strategy. It's brilliant. That's exactly what they're invented for. So, and that's well done. But fundamentally, I always had some issues with this company. And I hate to say it, but they're materializing now. You know what I mean? Part of my problem historically was they had two assets, one which they partnered, but it was partnered with a $1 million upfront payment. And in some ways, it was supposed to kind of subsidize the second one, but it didn't happen. So that's fine. Stock rallied on that announcement. And then the rally was smothered with a fundraise, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
It was a pretty steeply discounted fundraise. So then it's, you know, it's true what you were saying. This company
that was here, by the way, if you look at the chart there, the expectation of that deal coming on M3 was here.
Yeah.
And then, and then they sort of announced it with a fundraise here, which pulled the rug from under everyone. And like I said, you see what happens after a big fall. This is the kind of thing that happens. You'd have a little bounce and then you get people selling because underwater and it takes a while to settle down. Yeah. So carry on. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. No, exactly. And then you got in right before that second kind of rally there. And rightly so. I mean, don't get me wrong. Your arguments were strong. It was, well, they have, okay, a partnered program, and then they have another second program, and they're basically both phase three assets, right? And how is it possible that a company is worth whatever it was, 30p at that time, right before that second rally? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense, you know? So, and that was your buy signal, and it was correct, right? People started to pick up on it. But, yeah. You know, my main kind of issue was, well, there is a problem with the marketability of these assets. You know, it's whatever it is, people they're not that hot. Do you see what I mean? The assets aren't selling at a traditional phase three price, if you like, where you get a substantial upfront payment, you know. So the first early warning sign was that first asset, you know, only got a small upfront payment. So here we are now a few months on, and guess what? They can't partner the second one. So, you know, and that's where, you know, where we are. Now we're down 75% from those highs. My issue fundamentally is that I'm a bit scared for, you know, anyone contemplating piling in now. Is who knows, it's just open-ended now with this strategic review. It could really, really actually become, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't know. It could just be negative. We just don't know. The shares have reacted so aggressively down that it's, something tells me there's much more going on here than meets the eye. And I would see that as a big red flag.
Yeah, well, I said the positive side is they seem to have cash till Q1 next year. That's first and foremost. Whenever you're investing in pre-revenue loss making stocks, how much cash they got, how long is it going to last? So you've got that. That is to me that the biggest risk is not there. It's fine on that though. But yes, now what's coming into question, like you say, are the commercial marketability of these products, because it's seemingly, you know, brokers have massive upside targets. They're seemingly very good, but they seem to be struggling with them. And it reminds me of that quote, actually. Warren Buffett says, when management with a good reputation run a business with a bad reputation, it's the business reputation that remains intact. You know, so essentially, when you look at management, they can be very good, but if they are operating a business that can't be that good, then they can't do a lot about it. You know, so likely you can get a very good business run by average managers, and they shine because it's the business that are doing all the work for them. If it's a great model with extra margins, but if you get a good management and a good business, that's the ultimate thing. But yeah, it does. Well, in fact, we don't know. It seems like, you know, I've no idea the commercial viability of these drugs, cures or whatever they've got, but seemingly it was very good previously, and now it's thrown this strategy review, thrown that into question a little bit, which is a bit worrying. But I wouldn't go anywhere near this now. I'm just saying, on the positive side, they've got one asset already partnered, they've got cash. They need to bring some good news out on this XSME3, because that's the issue, you know, that was a driving force for the Hopipe potential. So that's they need to get some positive. They could have, you know, like I said, they could have, you know, tempered it with a bit of positive news on it or something, but like I said, it's open-ended now. So you
like I say, I don't understand why these announcements go out like this, quite frankly. But anyways, we are where we are. My only recommendation is to the company, and you know, it's unsolicited. But if now we know what the share price reaction is, now we know the impact of such an announcement. So let's resolve this strategic review as quickly as possible, because if it's left like this open, you know, for a long period of time, it's only going down.
Yeah. And going forward, do you know what? I've had big losses, you know, in the past. Everyone has. If you're an investor in high risky stocks, you take big losses. And that's one of the reasons why, especially in the last 2 years, I've changed a little bit. And now I will put stop losses on everything. Because first of all, your entry has to be correct. If it's not, you get tripped up. Now, if the business didn't play out, like I said, when you go to invest in a company, it's all risk. That's all it is. People just think of reward. How much can I make on this? Don't think of reward. And that will switch your brain. You've got to flip your brain thinking, how much can I lose on this stock if it goes completely wrong? Because once you cover that base off, you're okay then. And then the amount you risk on that stock will be determined by that. Because, you know, a lot of private investors, they lose money because they don't focus on the risk at all. They focus on the reward only. And so they say, oh, if I put $1,000 on this, I think it'll treble. I get $3,000. What if I put $10,000 in? And that's the entire portfolio. And it goes wrong. And you had no plan for that. So don't plan like it's going to double or multi-bag. Plan that it's going to bomb. And if you plan like it's going to bomb, you'll plan for the worst. But then if it goes up, okay, then you can start planning for reward management. But first and foremost, plan for risk management first, because that's essential, because you're risking capital. There's no reward there yet. And so that's where it can go wrong, is people just thinking, oh, this is going to make me rich. Don't think like that. Think, how much am I going to lose on this? And then all of a sudden you become a bit more sensible as an investor. You manage your risk. And that's what it's about, isn't it? Investing is about risk management. That's all it's about. You know, you cover off the losses and you hopefully get some big winners. If you don't lose big, it's fine. That's, you know, you can still carry on. But yeah, but it's awful when this happens. I know I've taken big hits and it literally is gut punch and you feel absolute crap for, you know, a couple of days. But if you start minimizing those losses, you can treat them as, you know, objective, sort of unemotional lessons. It's when they're big, that's when you really, you know, don't learn anything. It just knocks you for six, really. So got to keep them small and learn from them. And they are lessons. You know, I've had a horrible knock. In fact, Vesarian was a big knock for me. Not Vesarian, Polarian, sorry. I had a big chunk of money in that. And it knocked me for six. And oh my God, why didn't I actually put some, you know, realize how much money was in there? So, but there we are. It's all about learning, isn't it, Vadim?
Absolutely. I think Polarian, in many ways, the big was just how high it went. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, all being whole, we were all holders, and you know, it was astonishing how the returns were stacking up. But that's, you know, this is lessons learned again. You know, for me too, it was managing, having an exit plan going in. Do you know what I mean? That exit plan wasn't tweaked right. Put it that way. Yeah. From my perspective, I did not read my exit plan correctly on that.
Exactly. Well, I'll put it in some context. I never talk about figures really, but the money I had in Polarian could have bought the house I'm just sitting in right now. And that's how much I had in there. And yet it took a big knock. So I've taken big knocks and, you know, but you get stronger from them and you start realizing it's not all about rewards, but risk, you know, realize that.
Yeah.
And there we are. Marvelous. But thanks, Vadim. And we'll speak next to Wiki.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.